good to see each one of you gathered out this morning. Special welcome to our visitors, and a special welcome to Brother Marlon and Sister Janet. I didn't realize you were here this morning, but I just want to welcome you here. It brought back a lot of memories seeing you sitting here and thinking about the time you served in this congregation. And wish you God's blessings. Good to see you here this morning. It's good to see all of us, all of you here this morning, and a special welcome to each one. We've been singing songs about the greatness of God. I don't know if you've picked up on that theme, but with the first beginning songs was about the sovereignty of God and how God has been moving in the hearts and lives of people in the past. God, my King, thy might confessing, ever will I bless thy name, day by day thy throne addressing, still will I thy praise proclaim. And the praise has been coming out of our mouth for years. All through the generations, there's people that have been blessing God's name. I just thought it fit so well. I was just blessed with the service, the Sunday school lesson, thinking about God moving and the lives of his people for his honor and his glory. And that same God is working in our lives today. We have that same kind of power that we can allow to guide us and to direct us. And just been blessed by that. I do have a congregational announcement here I'd like to share. Austin Miller has been teaching school for us for 4 years, and he has expressed interest in moving his membership to this congregation. We, as ministry, have sat, talked about life, discussed details, and we see no reason why this couldn't take place. We also have a church letter from his home congregation. So we would like to move forward with this process 2 weeks from now on May 25. And so I'm just making that announcement to make you aware. If you have any concerns or any input, we would welcome your advice on this matter. It's the part of growing in church life. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have as people joining our congregation. So we welcome your input. Today is Mother's Day. And it's a simple thought, but every one of us here have a mother. Every one of us. And I don't plan to preach to the mothers this morning, per se. So I just want to take a few moments just to stop and encourage us, those that have mothers still living, that we express our appreciation for what our mothers have done for us. We take our mothers for granted. Our mothers have spent hours. Don't matter how old we are, our mothers have spent hours raising us into the people, to the person that you are today. Some of you, your mothers no longer live, and the opportunity to say thank you is past. But if your mother still lives today, I want you to express appreciation for what your mother has done. Everyone sitting here, I believe, has a mother that has cared about them. And this world is so corrupt, and there is a lot of people that bear the term mothers that probably are not worthy of honor. Been thinking about that thought. It takes a godly woman to make a godly mother. And so this morning, I want to talk to you ladies. I want to talk about godly women, because I want to be able to talk to the young girls, the youth, all through up to the grandmas that's here. A godly woman makes a godly mother. That's not my title, but that's what I was thinking about. We could go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 31 talks about Proverbs 31 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is above rubies. And I started the week thinking about this thought. Who can find a virtuous woman? Because it's not that you can't find them. Us men, we know they are there. If you're married, we have found a virtuous woman. I know you believe that, and I believe that. It's a blessing. But who can find a virtuous woman? Because in the world we live, it's rare. It is so rare to find a lady of virtue. In In Proverbs 31, it again says, her children shall rise and call her blessed. And in verse 30, it says, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And so this morning, it's the lady, the woman that is fearing God, that's allowing God to control her life, is the one that is worthy of blessing. And that's you ladies this morning. And I want to just bless each one of you, whatever age you are, wherever God has called you in life. The title this morning is The Virtuous Woman Through Every Season of Life. The Virtuous Woman Through Every Season of Life. Life is full of seasons. So we have young girls. They grow up, they get married. That's a season of life. We have young marrieds. It's a season of life. If God blesses you with children, that's a season of life. Old age is a season of life. And the parting of loved ones is another season of life. It just seems that no matter where you are, you're in a certain season of life. And this morning, we want to look at the virtuous woman through every season of life. Who can find a virtuous woman? And I want to think about virtue. Virtue is something that's a part of your life. It's a characteristic, something that it's a godly character. I believe virtue is a quality that the Holy Spirit produces in the life of a believer. It's moral excellence. It's spiritual character. I was struck with this thought, or I had a client. He was an older man, and he was looking for a woman. I don't say that he was of godly character. And I was doing some work for him, and he told me, he said, Vernon, you can't find virtuous woman. I think the words he used, but that's what he meant. You can't find good woman anymore. They're not out there. And he was smitten with some Mennonite girls that he had seen in town. Seems strange to me. But he saw these Mennonite girls, and they had a smile on their face. They looked happy. They were young girls. I knew who they were. And he said, you know, I really like them girls. And he wondered if I knew who they were. And then he said, do you think I could date one of them? And my question is this. What was he so impressed with those girls that he had the entire town to pick from, and yet he thought some Mennonite girls might be the girls for him? It's because there was some virtue in their life. And every one of you ladies this morning can have virtue in your life. And that virtue is what makes our lives attractive to the people around us and makes our lives fulfilling, virtue. I have about three thoughts this morning, and I'm going to try to pull them all together in one sermon. And so I might lose you. But so I'm thinking about this. Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous woman? So then my mind went to the fruits of the Spirit that are virtue that we are all supposed to have. So this morning I'm going to be talking to the ladies, but men, it's also applicable to you. Because the fruits of the Spirit is supposed to be in all of our lives. And so, men, you get to listen in. We're talking to the ladies this morning. We want to think about how applying the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is that virtue that should be a part of all of our life. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And you know that's in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. Talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit isn't something that's just a great and glorious term. So we could go to Proverbs 31. I remember years ago I preached on a Proverbs 31 lady, and I think it was Mother's Day possibly. And afterward, a number of the ladies come through and said, you know, we just can't live up to a Proverbs 31 lady. The Proverbs 31 lady just has it all put together. And she just does all these great and glorious things. And her husband's going to rise up and call her blessed, and it's wonderful. It truly is wonderful, but life isn't that way. Life is really full of seasons of life. Some days are good, and some days they're just not so good. Some days you just don't feel like a Proverbs 31. And so the fruit of the Spirit is something that all of us can have a part of our life. They're not fruits just for sunny days, but I believe the fruit of the Spirit is developed possibly with the fire of trials. The things that come into our life that are difficult to accept is the way that God can make you a virtuous woman. Two weeks ago, I preached on a practical Bible story. And so the third aspect of the story is I want to go to another Bible story. I want to go to a lady in the Old Testament that was having a bad day. I want to look at a lady that her life was difficult. I want to look at a Bible story where nothing was working out for this lady. And I think she was possibly frustrated with life. And possibly that she was saying, why? Why me, Lord? Why are you making me go through this? And I want to look how the fruit of the Spirit in her life made all the difference. Turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17 is this story. We have this widow woman of Zarephath. 1 Kings 17, I would like to start reading at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of the sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Another wonderful Bible story of God moving in a miraculous way for the people that he cares about. And I think God has a special spot in his heart for you ladies. As he sees the struggles of life, and as he looked down and he saw this widow woman, you really think about her life. She had a very difficult life. She was a widow. She lost her husband. And I wonder, was it through a traumatic accident? Or did she watch him suffer and suffer and suffer and eventually passed? We just know that she was a widow. We know she had a son. We have a single mom trying to raise up this child. That in itself would be complicated. But not only that, we had the famine, the dryness, the drought. And we have this woman caring for her son, going out every day trying to find food, trying to find enough of wood to make a fire. No man around to help her. And I think her life just sounds pretty bleak. I don't think she got up in the morning feeling like singing. She got up in the morning and it was just another day. And that bill, the barrel of meal just kept getting lower and lower. And she would go to bed thinking about, I don't know if we have enough of food to last a week. And she would scrape that barrel of meal, come up with a cupful, and she could see the bottom of the barrel. There's only two or three more cupfuls in there. She would go to bed. I just can't imagine her heart. How did she go to bed and sleep at night? Who was there for her support? Did she have family? Did she have friends? We just know she was a widow woman. But she was a normal woman like you. It finally come down to the point where there was no more food. One more cupful, and my life is done. None of us have been there. We don't even know how to relate to such a story. To be so low on food that you're down to the last cupful. This lady knew what that was like. We're going to eat our cake, and then our life here on this earth is over. Wonder what her feelings, how she felt. I think she probably shed some tears because life wasn't turning out the way she thought. I believe she got married and she thought life was going to be a dream. Life was going to just be perfect. And they had a good marriage and things were working out good. And then there was different seasons of life that this lady had to go through. She has a strange man come onto the scene. This man by the name of Elijah, and I don't think she probably knew Elijah. It wasn't somebody that was her friend. And we have Elijah walking in, and he says, "Fear not." How can you help but not fear? Of course she's afraid. She's getting ready to die. And this man says, "Don't need to worry about life. Just do what I say." But she don't know Elijah. What a story. I want to spend some time looking at the virtuous woman through every seasons of life. Based off this account, we have the virtual love. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. This lady knew what it was like to share love. She knew what sacrificial love was like. You know, love is not this great, glorious, fuzzy feeling. But this lady knew how to give and to give and to give. She had a sacrificial love for her son. And love will put others first before ourselves. John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And I know that you mothers, I know that you ladies have love in your hearts. A godly love, but it's a fruit of the Spirit, is something we want to let cultivate, is the love, the sacrificial love. I believe it's the greatest virtue. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about this. The greatest of these is love. God has loved us abundantly. And in return, we need to share that love with the people around us, with our neighbors and with our friends. And possibly it don't talk about her neighbors. But I believe that this lady, if given the opportunity, she would have helped out her neighbors if she could. Why? Because she was willing. When Elijah came to her and said, "Make me a cake," she was ready to help someone else and put him first over herself. That is true love. Love is shown to our neighbors, and love is shown to our worst of enemies. I think this lady probably had some haters in her life. I think she probably had some people that didn't like her, neighbors that treated her ugly. She was a widow. She had a son. I don't know the situation. But I believe she chose the way of love. I don't see an angry, bitter woman here. I believe she understood sacrificial love. The second virtue is joy. And in verse 15, I believe she found joy in her obedience of doing what Elijah asked her to do. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she had every reason to say, "That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. I'm not doing it." But she found joy in obedience. She did it. And that joy gave her a blessing in verse 16, that the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of Elijah. is amazing. The joy that came into her life because of her obedience. Obedience will bring joy. Her joy wasn't in life circumstances, but in responding to the word of the Lord. There's times in our life where it's not necessarily joyous, but we can still find joy. Joy comes from God. It's not something we find of ourselves, but as we build our relationship with God, and as we respond in obedience, as this lady did, it brings joy into our life. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." God wants us to be a joyful people. God wants us to be people that are trusting in Him. And He wants to fill our hearts with joy. And yes, joy in the midst of trials. As we talked, this lady was not having a good day. We could say it was the worst day of her life, possibly, because her options, she was at the end of her options. James 1:2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." God can give us joy in spite of trials and adversities. The third virtue in the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Love, joy, and peace. And in verse 13, I see that she acted calmly. She responds in such a contrast to the world in which we live today. You know of a lot of ladies, a lot of women that when faced with this kind of trial would go to pieces or would just explode. Can you imagine being asked to make a cake and you have no food left? The woman of this world would just set that man in his place. What right do you have coming over here and asking me to make a cake? Who do you think you are? But Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." And she went and she did according to the saying of Elijah. She acted calmly in the face of the crisis. The virtue of peace. Peace is not the absence of trials or conflict, but the presence of trust in God. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's that inner peace in Christ. The relationship that we can have with Christ, that whatever season of life you find yourself, we can have peace. We can have rest. We can have joy. We need to trust God for every season that He takes us through, whether it makes sense or not. This lady, it did not make sense. She thought she was at the end of her rope, and yet she still had a peace and a trust in God. The fourth virtue is long-suffering. And we know long-suffering to be suffering long, or patience. All of us need patience, but I think you ladies have a special gift for patience. Especially as God brings children into your life and you raise family. The patience, the long-suffering that it takes. And in this story, this lady of Zarephath, she was long-suffering because of the trials in her life. It didn't go away. It wasn't something that she suffered just for a week. But she worked through that dry time in her life. There was no rain. Things were drying up. The crops were drying up. Her garden that she tried so hard to plant was not yielding. The food that she tried to preserve wasn't lasting. She suffered long. But we don't see her lashing out in anger. We don't see her lashing out in bitterness. But I see a certain just resignation to life, whatever it came to her. Galatians 6:9, it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." This lady, this widow lady, she just kept pressing on doing the next right thing. I'm sure there was times in her life she didn't have a clue what she was supposed to do. But she just got up the next day and made another cake, made another little fire. Just do the next right thing. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And waiting patiently for God to move is hard because we want to see results. We want the prison doors opened, and we want to get out of prison. We want things to happen, and God don't always open the prison doors when we want him to open prison doors. Why did he make this widow woman last as long until she was at the end of her rope before he brought her relief? But God still had a plan. And we see this lady patiently allowing God to work in her life. The fifth virtue that I want to look at is the virtue of gentleness. Some of these are very similar, but this virtue of gentleness, we just see a gentle response to the prophet. In verse 10 and 12, we have the conversation, and we have a gentle response. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. Just said pretty matter-of-factly. She had a gentle disposition. She could have responded in anger. She could have responded in a total different way to Elijah, but she didn't. Proverbs talks about a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I wonder what would have happened if she would have left Elijah have it. But she just simply responded, stated the facts the way they were, and they were able to have a conversation. And Elijah was able to work a miracle in her life and show her God's power in a way that she wasn't expecting. You know, life is full of times when we're dealing with other people. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit that each one of us need in our life. And it makes a world of difference. It makes people look into your life and say, that's amazing. I desire what you have, gentleness. Being able to be gentle with your family. Being gentle with your neighbors, your sisters in the church. A gentle disposition, speaking gently. We could go on, but let's look at the next one. The sixth one is the virtue of goodness. In verse 15, she went and she did it. She just did the right thing. Goodness is love in action. Her goodness was practical. She fed the prophet. She went and she made him a cake. I believe she had this fruit of goodness in her life that she wanted to do the right thing. And she went, and when she didn't have to, but she made this prophet a cake. God didn't have to do what he did for us. But God is good. God has given us so much. And we in turn need to have a heart of goodness, that we can do the next right thing for the next person. The seventh virtue is the virtue of faith. She believed the word of the Lord. She believed the word of the Lord. What did she have to believe on? Did she see God working in the past? I think she was not even an Israelite, if I understand my studies correctly. Did she even believe in God? But she had enough of belief in God that she did what the prophet of God told her to do. She had a little bit of faith. And how do you know she had a little bit of faith? Well, she gave up her food so that the prophet could have a cake. The prophet said, you make me a cake, and God will bless you with more food for each day. She had a choice to make. Is she going to believe that old man? He was an old man. Or was she going to do the practical thing and make herself a cake so she had something to eat and her son? Not only just for herself, she had her son to think about. I wonder how long it took her to contemplate, what should I do? The life of faith does not make sense to the world around us. The faith that we have in Jesus Christ that makes us respond differently. Every one of you ladies need the virtue of faith in your life. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It affects the way we see life. It affects our actions. It affects the testimony that's coming out of our heart and out of our mouth. Faith. She went and she did it. And I wonder, what was her thoughts? As she was making the cake, as she dumped all the flour or meal or whatever was in her barrel, she dumped it out, she shook the barrel, and it's empty. It's bone dry. There's none left. And she makes this cake. What was her thoughts? The scripture just says, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I wonder if she made that cake and if she happened to look back in the barrel. There was a little more flour in there, a little more meal. I wonder when she realized that it didn't get all. Or maybe she took that scoop out and there just was more in the barrel. And she said, well, I thought there was only a cupful left, but it looks like there's another cupful. Every day she went to that barrel and there was just always just one more cupful. A lady of faith will continue to trust God even when it looks impossible. She could say, well, there's only enough for tomorrow, but that's all she needed. And when she got there, it replenished itself. It's just amazing. How long did this last? A week? 2 weeks? A year? I didn't research it. I don't know. I wonder if there came a time when she just began to expect that there was always another cupful of meal in the bottom of the barrel. My mind just wonders. It's such an interesting story. But she was a lady of faith, the virtue of faith, that she could believe God. And God rewarded her for her faith. And ladies, God will reward you for your faith. Maybe it's just a little bit of faith, but God is there. And God rewards us with our faith as we take action. Faith is action. She had to bake the cake. She had to shake the barrel empty. She had to come to the end of herself. And she took that step, and God rewarded her. I have a story that says, legend has it that a man was lost in the desert, just dying for a drink of water. He stumbled upon an old shack, ramshack, windowless, roofless, weather-beaten old shack. He looked about the place, found a little shade from the heat of the desert sun. As he glanced around, he saw a pump about 15 feet away, an old rusty water pump. He stumbled over to it, grabbed the handle, and began to pump up and down, but nothing came out. Disappointed, he staggered back. He noticed off to the side an old jug. He looked at it, wiped away the dirt and dust, and read a message that said, you have to prime the pump with all the water in this jug. My friend, be sure you fill the jug again before you leave. He popped the cork out of the jug, and sure enough, it was almost full of water. Suddenly, he was faced with a decision. If he drank the water, he could live. Ah, but if he poured all the water in the old rusty pump, maybe it would yield fresh, cool water from down deep in the well, all the fresh water he wanted. He studied the possibility of both options. What should he do? Pour it into the old pump and take a chance on fresh, cool water to drink? Or drink the old stale water that was in the jug? Should he waste all the water on the hopes of those flimsy instructions written no telling how long ago? Reluctantly, he poured all the water into the pump. Then he grabbed the handle and began to pump. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Still nothing came out. Squeak, squeak, squeak. A little bit began to dribble out, then a small stream, and finally it gushed. To his relief, fresh, cool water poured out from the rusty old pump. Eagerly, he filled the jug, and he drank from it, filled it another time, and once again drank its refreshing contents. Then he filled the jug for the next traveler. He filled it to the top, popped the cork back on, and added a little note. Believe me, it really works. You have to give it all away before you can take anything back. And that's what I think that God was doing for this widow lady. She had to give it all away. And in return, God rewarded her 100-fold. God is faithful. And it's the same God that is with you today. This is not just a story. This is a story about God. This is a story about God and His caring for His people. For the people that He cares about. For the different seasons of life. No matter what you find yourself going through, God cares. And He's there and He's going to meet your needs. But we need to respond in faith. And in this story, you have to dump all the water into the pump so that you can be replenished. It's an act of faith. God has been faithful in the past. He's never left His people down. He has walked with the children of Israel. Time and time again, He was there for them. God is going to be there for us. It takes faith. The eighth virtue is the virtue of meekness. Meekness, I have here in verse 13, she just simply humbled herself to God's messenger. She just did quietly, in her spirit of meekness, she humbled herself and did what the prophet had asked of her to do. God loves a meek spirit. 1 Peter 3:4 says, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price." That's what God wants to see in the women, the ladies of today. He wants a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Matthew 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And I believe that this lady understood what a meek and a quiet spirit was. The ninth one that I have is the virtue of temperance. She showed restraint and discipline. Some of these run into each other. But she knew what it was like to ration her food. She could have ate all her food the first week, but she understood temperance of just unselfishly giving of what she had to help others. I believe she exercised self-control. And she trusted God, followed His instructions. Temperance is doing the right thing when your flesh wants the opposite. I'm sure there was times when she was hungry. And she wanted to eat a bigger cake. And all that she could afford was just a small little cake. You can let your mind imagine. But I believe that temperance was also a part of her life. As much as also that it should be a part of our lives. That the Spirit of God is guiding and directing our life, that we control our desires. 1 John 2:16 says, "For everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but is of the world." And so there's a lot of things that's around us that's vying for our attention. But we have to live a life of temperance, that we don't indulge ourselves into everything that is around us. The virtuous woman through every season of life. I want to wish you ladies God's blessing in your life. Wherever God has called you to, that you would find the peace, the joy, the patience that you need, the long-suffering, the temperance, all the fruit of the Spirit, that you would apply them to your life and that you would let God work through your life and that God could use you in a real way. And that God could be honored and glorified. I bless you for what you have done, what you do for your families. Wherever you find your place, may you give God His rightful place and glory. Let's